You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Yeah, all this talk about beef and rap. I only understand street beefs and geopolitical beefs. I don't really consider this to be a beef, but in hip-hop parlance, we could call it that. But right now, I want to, in my playlist, high rotation, I could say. There's a song that I'm feeling right now. It's called Just a Minstrel. Listen up. This is just Siri X. Just a Minstrel. Is this a minstrel show that we're watching?
Yeah. Okay. I know the people fell in love with the job and shut. Do anything for a line of buck. Nipped up for the video, crown you up. YouTube or the Vimeo rounds you up. Hit the club, get it poppin'. Bottles and cash droppin'. World going green, we clean and do the mopping. Quick to serve a fiend, we dream of pork chopping. Steady on a lean, I seen we just stopped and stagnant. Attract bulls like a magnet. Think tough, they just hip swinging. Candid, camera with bandanas. Watch too much TV with no manners. I'm not with it, like a fake ass fitting. Call me Joe Clark.
Yeah, I'm feeling this. Just Siri X. About to join us shortly. Listen up.
MA rappers got to go.
On TV, acting a fool and always showing off your teeth, yo. How could it be? You'd rather die in the streets than never try to make
it, yo. What, you thought I wasn't going to put the fire trucks? I got to put the fire trucks on just Siri.
Why can't you see the lullaby you sing is putting the soul to sleep?
Yeah. I'm looking in the mirror with the hammer in my hand. Break the image of the... To the murder rate, you a figure. To the cops on the block, you were just a coffin with a trigger. Chalked out, another body on the sideline. 25, but the black man is the timeline. So sad, we ain't pleading for help.
Real Talk Express, the website www.lyricsincorporated.com/Real Talk Express with an X. RealTalkExpress. Or you can just Google Jasiri, JASIRIX. Real Talk Express.
Suicide when you rhyming on your ringtone song. Dumb go grills with the blackface on. You're on TV acting a fool and always showing off your teeth. You're, how could it be? You'd rather die in the streets than never try to be free.
There's two other cats, some powerful artists on this track with him. They're from Pittsburgh, Adasa Tariq and Living Proof. Living Proof and Adasa Tariq on this track as well. Just a minstrel.
Faces ignorant rap takes and feminine MCs that are sweeter than snack cakes. Spineless in need of a permanent back brace. Saying cheese so they stay in the lead in this rat race. We can steal if they don't show every teeth in they grill. These dudes ain't keeping they deal. See what I'm speaking is real. No wonder they be needing them pills to behave like a slave when God gave free will. Check the record, here's your contract. Step and fetch it. Women, wear your tightest, better yet, dress naked. That's if you expect acceptance. A major label deal with the best connections. As long as they don't detect the message. If you don't dumb it down, then your intelligence question. And I turn on the TV and be damn confused too. Is this BG or the movie Bamboozle? Cause it's
on TV acting a
fool. Ooh. Hold on. Somebody on my phone line, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Ooh-hoo-hoo. Man, what do we call this? This is what happened with the first time Batman and Robin connected. You know what I mean? Was it
right?
I mean, was it atmospheric changes the first time that Hawk and Animal or the Road Warriors met and locked eyes in a room?
Definitely.
It was something like this, family. This is just Siri X on the line. Somebody that you have gotten to know if you are a BlackElectric.com listener, viewer rather, and listening to this program. But let me just say this: just Siri's on the line, and I don't do flattery. I don't believe in that. Many kingdoms have been destroyed by intrigue. But you all know me to speak of Davey D in very glowing terms. And I don't say this lightly. The only other individual that the same attributes that come to mind for the great work of the incredible hip-hop historian, opinion leader, and activist Davey D, these are similar attributes that I think of when I think of this brother Jasiri X, of the Real Talk Express, not just an educator, not just an artist, not just an activist, not just a leader, not just an entrepreneur, just a good brother, someone who I think cares I would say this, he moves from the heart as well as the mind, and I think that's something that's missing. Jasiri, are you tearing up yet, brother?
Man, you know, man, you know, just to be put in the category with Davey and you know, yourself, man, just to be in the same circle, is definitely, man, yeah, I'm tearing up, man. I got to go grab me a Kleenex, sir, man. Hold on for a second. Let me get my Kleenex.
There you go. I got two of them. Now, look, everybody go to his blog. Man, you had a little problem with the cell phone yesterday, bro? BlackBerry or something?
Oh, man. Yeah, go to my blog. You got to read. Yeah, I lost my BlackBerry. I bought it, had it for about two and a half days and lost it. And it led me on a crazy experience with AT&T that ended up severing our relationship. So, you know, those of you that have dealt with customer service, cell phone hell, you can kind of read my story and see of all the loops I had to jump through to end up essentially getting nothing. So
now, all my AT&T listeners, if you want to make the situation right by sponsoring my program,
absolutely,
and taking
please.
Care of him. Listen, Jasiri, let's start from the beginning, man. I became acquainted with you. I think one of the people was RB, Thug Life Army, Rob.
And some
of the others were Davey D, I think, have been circulating some of your work.
Yes.
First of all, you're based in Pittsburgh. Just give us a little bit of the history, more your personal bio, and how you got to where you are today to even be in a position, I guess, to help so many people.
Oh, definitely. Well, originally from south side of Chicago, you know, moved from there just because of the environment that I was living in. My mom kind of wanted, you know, to give me a little bit more opportunity, so came to Pittsburgh and... was influenced by, you know, groups like Wu-Tang, who you mentioned, Rakim, KRS-One. So just a friend of mine got some turntables, started rhyming, and, you know, was kind of doing my little local rhyme thing, and, you know, ended up dropping out of college, you know, trying the street life a little bit, bumping my head a few times, and then, of course, got acquainted with the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad through Minister Farrakhan, and, you know, it just had a complete change on my life as far as not just my personal life, but also just as an artist, because, you know, through my reading and study, I just had a lot more to say. And then also got me involved in just activism around Pittsburgh and seeing, you know, the oppression of our people here and poor people especially, and just trying to make a difference and a change in that. And, you know, I guess those worlds have kind of combined now to where, you know, we're using hip-hop here in Pittsburgh to try to, you know, just raise the consciousness of especially the young people in our communities with the One Hood movement that we're doing here. And, you know, it ended up connecting me to, you know, Davey D, to the Gathering for Justice, which was started by Harry Belafonte, and to, you know, activists like yourself. End up going to D.C., running into you, and, you know, the rest is history.
Ooh. Now, Jasiri, when, if I may ask, how old were you? You were born in the Shire, or you grew up in the Shire first? Before
yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, grew up in the Chicago, yes.
And then how old were you when you made the Pittsburgh move?
I was around 13, 14. Really at that age where I started to get into some things that were negative behavior. And then, you know, I was in a neighborhood in Chicago called the Wild Hundreds where, you know, it was what it was. So my mom, you know, being a very educated person, said, you know, I'm gonna get him up out of here to a point where, you know, he can focus on some education, you know.
Beautiful. Okay, so from that point, two things happened from what I'm learning about you from your own words. You were introduced to knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from the minister, teaching the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as he represents it. And you also were, I guess, shaped and really observing as well as experiencing the hard life of our people in Pittsburgh. Is that correct?
Yeah, Pittsburgh is a tough place, you know, really. You know, of course, after the steel mill shut down, it went through some severe economic hardship. And even though, you know, economically, Pittsburgh is doing better than most cities because of in this recession, it's still very divided in terms of very segregated, but also, you know, between rich and poor. It's very, very divided. Recently, in fact, Pittsburgh was named America's most livable city. And then 2 weeks later, a study came out from the University of Pittsburgh that said, especially black people in Pittsburgh were poorer than any major city in America, and that we led the nation in single-parent households in terms of juvenile incarceration and some of these other things, and really poverty in general. So, you know, we began to ask the question, well, it's most livable for who?
Right, and we've linked to those for years at blackelectorate.com. I think in our 10-year, really 9.5-year history, Pittsburgh over in Cleveland. These are the certain cities that kind of like this mid-size in between these real small towns or big towns, I should say, in these real big metropolis that get fall in the crack, kind of like a Newark, New Jersey as well. Okay, so from that point, how did you put it all together artistically? Was there a challenge? Were you making art of a different spirit or consciousness level before you became acquainted with the teachings?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I was rapping about the things I was doing, which were pretty much all negative, you know, at the time, you know, and I went to college, but, you know, for me, college became like the party. In fact, my major was economics. You know, you on here talking about economics, boxing, and hip hop.
Hold on, brother.
I'm listening, just fired up. I'm like, okay, we can touch on all those topics. Those are some of my favorite topics. But my major was economics, but dropped out of school. You know, and just kept, you know, tried to do that street thing for a minute. That didn't work for me neither. And you know, really, you know, the getting acquainted with the teachings really saved my life. You know, definitely.
Okay, now I'm fascinated by your testimony here. I think this is very important and helpful for a lot of people who are out there who are trying to reconcile not just the question of, you know, right or wrong, but how does real change occur in a person and how do they combine it with a gift or a talent that they've recognized even before they became more conscious? You see what I'm saying?
I thought it's funny because I thought, like, when I became a member of the Nation, I thought I had to stop rapping. I thought, like, you know, I kind of had to leave that behind. And, you know, when the brothers had heard, you know, some of the things that I had rapped about previously, they were saying, like, nah, man, you have to, you know, use your talents and gifts and put something in it that could possibly help people. And I'm going to tell you, to be honest, I had almost reached a point where I had given up rapping altogether. And it was really when I, you know, by, you know, coincidence, or, you know, I don't believe in coincidence, let's say happenstance, made the song dealing with the Gina 6, Free the Gina 6, and then that went national, and the response to people to it about, you know, thankful that it was consciousness, it was positive, quote unquote, it was, I didn't use profanity, and like the response I got for the Gina 6 showed me that there was indeed an audience of people that wanted to hear, you know, hip hop that was on a higher conscious level.
Now tell me a little bit about how that happened, and let's give credit where credit is due.
Yes.
The quote-unquote baddest man in radio, Michael Bazin, took note to what you were doing and gave you a platform, if I'm correct.
Absolutely. Well, you know, of course I heard about the Gina 6 through the Final Call and Brother Jesse's article, and I was going on a road trip, actually going to a conference that Minister Farrakhan kind of called, and I write rhymes in the car. Like, I don't really write rhymes down. I know that's cliche to say now, I don't write rhymes down, but...
Hold on, brother. Yes. You're giving away trade secrets on air, brother.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, you know when Jigga told everybody he wrote without paper, you saw what it caused.
Right.
Now. I'm going to be driving and seeing people not just texting, but writing lyrics in their car.
Right. Well, I just say them in my head over and over again, like I say. So I knew that, like, on this trip, you know, 5-hour trip, I said, okay, well, I'm going to write a rhyme because that'll help the time go faster. And, you know, I said, you know, I want to write a story about the Gina 6. And so I picked a beat and I just ended up driving up there. And all while I was at this conference, I was writing this song about the Gina 6, came back to Pittsburgh, recorded it, and I sent it to allhiphop.com, who was really the first people to put it up, my man Ilseed, who does the rumors. And, you know, people, you know, from Chicago began sending it to Michael Bazin. We don't even have his show in Pittsburgh. So I wasn't even really aware of who he was or how big the show was. You know, so when they contacted me, I didn't know. It was only when they said my name on the air, and, you know, not many people named you Siri, and I started to get calls from friends all over the country that I realized that this was bigger than what I thought it was. And, of course, then I started getting nervous about what was going on. So.
Exactly. So that led to, now at this point, Jasiri, you had obviously a body of work. This was not, you know, the only thing you had done.
Right.
At that point, I mean, keep it real with me. How was the catalog looking? Was it like 99.9% social consciousness activism type music, or was it, what was the balance like?
Well, absolutely. You know, actually, I was working on a project that, you know, it was really, you know, I work with, you know, in Pittsburgh, I work primarily with young, you know, really young black men. I mean, that's what I do. you know, on an everyday basis. I'm somewhere in the hood in the community working with young black men. So I was really working on a project to where I was kind of explaining what I was seeing, you know, in Pittsburgh and how it was affecting, you know, our community. And so that was the body of work that I was working on. And, you know, I put that together with some other songs I had crafted after the Gina 6, and then just put that into the mix CD, I Got That X.
Now let's talk about something that I had to give you just pioneering credit for. And those that have seen it, they're aware of it. This week with Jasiri X, man, let's talk about this thing.
Yes.
So how did that come about? What's been the reach of it?
Okay.
Just give me an idea and give the audience an idea, those that don't know about what you've been able to do on the internet and in studio and all that.
Well, the way it came about was that, you know, I had done the Gina 6 song, and I did another song which was dealing with the Sean Bell verdict called Enough's Enough. And, you know, I wanted to do something that, you know, I didn't want to be like the tragedy rapper, that I could only come out and rap when it was like some tragedy happened in our community, and then I would have to kind of go back and wait for like the next tragedy.
Exactly.
So I wanted to, you know, do something where I could show the diversity that I had lyrically. And I saw, really the inspiration was a brother at the time named Crooked Eye. He was coming out with a rhyme every week, and he had did it for an entire year, and I saw how that kind of brought him into the consciousness of, and I said, you know, I could do something like that, but, you know, like you said, I'm socially conscious. So I wanted it to be something to where I can use the consciousness that I have. So I said, you know what, I'll do the news. And I really had came up with the idea and kind of like in my mind said, nah, it'll be too difficult to do a rhyme a week, a video a week, nah. And it was really a brother here named Omar Abdul who convinced me when I told him the idea. You know, he was like, man, that's a great idea. You need to do that. You need to do that right away. And so I always got to give him credit because, you know, sometimes we'll have a good idea and then we'll kind of naysay our own self and it won't see the light of day. And it was like me telling him and him encouraged me to do it led to me doing the news for 9 weeks up until President Obama was elected. And then I did another 9 weeks up until the inauguration. And then the season 3 is actually going to come out in at the end of September, so we're about to do it again.
Okay. Well, you know, we want to be able to promote that, so let us know as soon as that firms up.
Oh, absolutely. And as you know, we have the G20 summit coming to Pittsburgh.
Yes, now I wasn't going to see you're so on point, brother. Standing ovation for you. Why do you think Pittsburgh was selected to host it?
You know, it's interesting because Pittsburgh has this unique relationship with President Obama. You know, when the Steelers, you know, and, you know, Dan Rooney kind of supporting him. And, you know, so he's been here a lot. And then, you know, two reasons. One, like I said, because Pittsburgh kind of went through its economic recession in the 70s, early 80s. And so it realized then, and it began to invest in education. It began to invest in new technology. And so we haven't suffered as much here in terms of the recession as much as other cities, like a Detroit, for instance, that's really, really suffering. And then the convention center Pittsburgh has is what they're calling the biggest green convention center. So kind of all these things have led to them having it here.
Now, just Siri, I don't know if you knew this. Brother Charles, co-founder, my business partner, brother, first one that taught me the knowledge of self. BlackElectric.com. He claims to be a Steelers fan, brother. I've known him for a long time, and he's a Steelers fan. I don't know how this happened. Now,
yes.
Let me show you my credentials.
Yes.
First grade, 6 years old. Teacher gives us an assignment to draw somebody that we admire, look up to. Brother, I drew L.C. Greenwood with the yellow shoes, man. L.C. Greenwood with the yellow shoes,
yes,
man.
Yes.
So can I slide in even though I'm an Eagles fan?
Hey, I'm telling you, man, you know, when it comes to Pittsburgh, I mean, it's Steelers 24-7, you know, all day long. And, I mean, it's, you know, that's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is all about the Steelers. So, yeah, I guess you can go ahead and slide on in with that, you know.
Jasiri, real quick before I move into some more contemporary stuff.
Okay.
Give everybody any contact information they need, the Real Talk Express website, anything, please.
Oh, definitely. Like you said, Real Talk X. P-R-E-S-S, and then, you know, contact me. I'm Jasiri X at gmail.com, G-M-A-I-L, you know, definitely hit me up. Any questions, concerns, comments, hit me up.
Okay, great. Let's talk about something that we build on regularly on this show, which is the state of the music industry, the music yes. business, not just in terms of the lyrical content, because that's talked about a lot, but the lesser issue, which I think is actually, it's less talked about, but it's maybe as important, and it's something that I admire about you, is the embrace of technology and how those individuals who do not embrace technology fall behind with the music business model, which is constantly changing.
Absolutely.
Now, I brought this up in terms of Joe Budden and Raekwon and the discrepancy between those two.
Right.
Because when I'm out here on the street in Washington, D.C., I don't hear the music of either one of them.
Right.
You know, I hear different artists, of course. And a big factor of that is that certain artists have not kind of kept up with the internet. They're not, haven't kept up with the streets.
Yes.
And so there's a gap there that forms. I wanted to know from you, because a lot of the conscious era artists and fans, people like you and I and 50 Cent, who grew up on, you know, black power music, et cetera, and hip hop.
Right.
There's a gap between us and what the young people are growing up on, and technology has a lot to do with it. Do you think that there's been something missing in the consciousness of the quote-unquote conscious hip-hop community as it relates to respect for young people and technology that's causing this gap?
I do. I think that, I think sometimes as conscious artists, it's like an arrogance where it's kind of like, this is the truth, you come to me. Or I'm giving you the truth and you accept it how I'm bringing it to you, or reject it. You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes, you know, we think that, okay, I made a song, it's conscious, and because it's conscious, has the truth, you need to play it and you need to support it. Instead of trying to make good music, you know, I mean, to me, if the music is good, then, you know, it's going to be played and it's going to be accepted. And I think sometimes as conscious artists, we feel like, you know, it's conscious, you need to support it, but is it good? The second thing I think is missing, and I did the very first blog that I did that led to Real Talk Express was a blog that was titled The Conscious Community Needs a DJ Khaled. And one of the things that I found is that it's a lot of conscious rappers, but not a lot of conscious DJs. And it's the DJ that breaks the music. It's the DJ, you know, there's certain radio stations that'll play my music, but it's like, man, if I had a list of, like, conscious individuals that DJed or that was able to play music, because without that connection to the DJ, then the music doesn't get played. Mm. And I think one of the reasons why is this gap between the internet and, you know, what you see in the streets, because a lot of times the streets is still run by what's being played on major radio stations. And, you know, major radio stations, you know, they're playing things that, you know, it's payola. You know, if you pay them, or if, you know, if you're part of that network, then you get played on what they call major radio. And, you know, so people began to say, well, I don't have payola, I'm not part of that network, so I'll just create, you know, cut like a little swath of people out on the internet, and I'll begin to feed, grow, and nurture this audience because I can put it on there and it's free. And I don't have to worry about the politics of getting on radio or coming out of my pocket and paying to get on radio. You know, I sign up for Twitter or Facebook, it's free. And then I can begin kind of crafting my audience from there.
Now, and this is a big point, and I think you brought up something I hadn't really thought of. I know I did an interview with a man named Norman Parrish. He owns the Black Art Gallery in Washington, D.C., and he described that what has made black art now be in a position where it can go global and be an economic power is that all of the key elements, the curators, the art gallery owners, the artists, the people who sell the art, the distributors, they all now have grown up and been trained. And so now you have an army or a critical mass.
Right.
I never thought of what you just said, which is we have artists that are conscious, but if you look down the value chain, you may not have radio program directors
right.
who are artists. You may not, you know, who are conscious. You may not have DJs, as you say.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
When's the last time we've seen a conscious mixtape DJ?
Right.
That's a good point.
And, you know, that's been my thing. You know, it's like I'm coming out with a CD, you know, hopefully this fall, called The Autobiography of Jasiri X. And it's like, my thing is like, okay, I have these songs. Now, how do I get them to the people so they can hear them? And even if the response is not good, at least it gives me an idea as an artist as to what I need to do. You know what I'm saying? But that's been my biggest struggle, is finding outlets that will play my music consistently. Because, you know, when you get on the radio, they playing it every day, sometimes once an hour. And it gives people the opportunity to begin to really like it. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. We're talking to Jasiri X. Let's talk a little bit about the new project. You use the word hopefully. And, brother, I have a book hopefully coming out September 22nd, too. Let's keep hope alive.
Yes.
Because, look, release dates can and will be changed as circumstances mandate.
Oh, man, true. And, you know, I'm in a position where, you know, I've had some talks with some different people and just waiting to see, you know, something materialize. So at the same time, I have a complete album, but it's given me an opportunity to even add to it, you know, more current songs. But, you know, it definitely was an opportunity for me as an artist, and I called the autobiography of Jasiri X because I started to write songs that really were like kind of personal and talked about the things that kind of formed me as an artist. And I thought it would be good, you know, you hear me on, if you hear This Week with Jasiri X, if you hear Frida Gina 6, if you hear Enough's Enough, I don't talk about me. You know, I'm talking, right. I'm always talking about what's going on in the world. And then the question might arise, well, why are you always talking about these things as opposed to an artist who's talking about getting money or getting, you know, or just I'm not making up no dances. And so what, you know, kind of led me to be this type of artist? I thought that would be an opportunity to let, you know, to kind of bring people inside of what kind of made me the artist that I am. So,
well, with your permission, and if you can, if you don't mind staying with us a little longer.
Absolutely.
May I pump this track called X-Man?
Oh, yeah. This is actually, you know, for me, man. I mean, you know, we have, you know, our own legendary West Coast pioneer in the nation, Cam. And, you know, the brother actually reached out to me and asked me to be a part of a project called Fruit Pruno. So, you know, that put me on cloud nine.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
That, man, this is somebody who has a history, you know, working with Ice Cube and Snoop and all of these artists, and that he would want to work with an artist like myself. So we did a project called Fruit Pruno. This is a song, X-Man, and hopefully by either the end of this week or early next week, the video will be out. That's the video I'm working on right now. So please pump that.
Yeah, it's going on right now. Hold on, Jasiri. We'll be right back, folks. This is X-Man, Jasiri X on the Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program.
Black superhero. Black superhero. Cream of the I got a letter from my brotherhood the other day. I opened and read it. It said I was accepted. I've been recruited to fix my nation welfare. Picture being suited and booted and said, hell yeah. Already went through the contractuals. Now it's time to memorize my student enrollment in 20 actuals. National general orders in my assignment on how to kill a vulture with this culture refinement. Time went by. I studied heavy every night till one brother finally said he ready to recite. But let them know that this is not for the fake, but the best. So let's see if he got what it takes. They say I better not make one damn mistake.
Well, I might end up in that red hot lane.
More motivated than I ever been. Soon as I was done, one told me I made it. I'm in and now.
I'm a X-Man. 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 I'm a X-Man.
Original X-Man, not an exhibit. Don't talk it, I live it. White chalk and I give it. Too barking to strip it. Fooling with a Muslim elite. Bank street play stronger and ribbon. Ask your soldiers in the ranks about your boy, get it? Peacemaker in the field, Hank McCoy with it. Superhero, mine is the cape fit. Gorilla, you monkeys gon' make me go ape-ish. A full throttle like the energy drink. Nation, off what this enemy think. Believe the crack is out of bounds and I'm rushing folks. Trey Pound, sitting down like the Usher folks. X-Man, ditch the sandals of camel days. Pushing got my green sweater like gamma rays. Suit by day, night phantom dark tent. Hopping in and out of boots, call me Clark Kent. X on my chest like an old cat. Bobby Drake to the Jake, I'm a cold cat. These eyes scan the enemy like a check stand. I'm what these comic strips pretend to be. an X-Man.
I'm a X-Man. I'm a X-Man. I'm a X-Man. I'm a X-Man. I'm a X-Man.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Like a parking lot. Hip-hop addict to me is like sparking rock. I can't wait for a cut like sitting in the barbershop. The pallbearer of your era, the definition of what you call terror. I shatter all mirrors, this image means nothing, and my thirst is everything. Lines of pure powder, my verse is Medellin. The industry is Ray Charles, I'm something they never seen. Like the Celtics in the finals, we just a better team. I'm making Evers dream, I'm the nightmare that made the Edgar scream. The end result, a killing Reverend King. I'll never surrender, I put that on everything. Pittsburgh veteran, ex-stealer like Kevin Green. N.O.I., we taught you what the seven means. You still on six Christmas gifts under the evergreen. When my machete swings, chairs spin a roll, leave you dead in the cold. Your legs stiffer than stones, I need no crush or blaster. I have no Dutch master, I do not shift serve. I think so much faster, I don't bust the rhymes. My rhymes will bust the rapper whose so-called hard exterior was just plaster. Some actors like the dude who played Devo. Just because you wear the costume doesn't make you a hero. I'm a X-Man.
I'm a X-Man. I'm a X-Man. I'm a X-Man. I'm a X-Man. I'm a X-Man. I'm a X-Man. I'm a X-Man. I'm a X-Man.
It's just Siri X. I'm a X-Man. Job well done, brother.
Thank you.
Excellent. I love that. Who's the brother that said ex-stealer like Kevin Green?
That's me.
That was the line. Hold on, brother. I got to play something. Ending whackness in the name of blackness. That was hot, brother. Yeah, you got nice voice inflection, because sometimes I pick you up and sometimes I don't.
Yeah. Like that. I try to be, you know, not the same on every track, so if you hear a whole album, you don't get bored.
Absolutely. That's an art. Along with song placement on albums, very underrated.
Right. Then I gotta get you my album, so I make sure I have the correct song placement.
Well, then, brother, I've been known to make a mistake or two, but Quincy Jones is the greatest ever. Puffy is surprisingly underrated in that area, and RZA was a genius at it. So, you know, I'll tell you, the biggest blunder in the history of song placement on an album was Blueprint 2 by Jigga.
Wow.
Good songs in horrible order.
Right.
So messed up the flow. Listen, I got a comment, brother. Someone of a like spirit, Samad from Houston, sends in a comment. Samad says, "Assalamu alaikum. As an artist, I appreciate the topic you are currently discussing. I am a conscious artist in Houston, and all the music is about rims, candy paint, sipping codeine, and drugs. My music is about life. Hopefully, I can break the market up down here, despite the obstacles." What do you think?
Well, I would say, you know, I would follow the advice of Don Blige Muhammad, which is do for self. And instead of worrying about breaking into a market, let's create a new market. And I think that's where the technology can come in. Because for me, the technology enabled me to connect with people. You know, I have people buying my CDs in Germany and England. And it enabled me to connect to a group of people that really were interested in hearing the type of music that I had, instead of trying to force, you know, in Pittsburgh, the only black radio station is shutting down. I think it's maybe 2 more weeks, and we will have no major black radio station. And that, as an artist, it affects me not at all, because I didn't invest in them because I knew that they wouldn't play the type of music that I make.
Yeah, you know what? And I don't know the situation in Pittsburgh as far as who owned that facility, so I'm not necessarily directing this at them. But you know what? Let the dead die.
That's what I said.
Sometimes, you know, we keep holding on for something that's showing a natural death.
Yes.
That would create the way for your growth. And we're actually propping up something that is absolutely antithetical to what we're trying to do.
And if you look at how, you know, quote unquote black radio, this is, you know, people send me stuff, say black radio, and that, you know, well, if it's the Black Coffee Channel, then yeah, but if it's what passes for radio, which is a whole bunch of gossip and who's, you know, messing with who and who got days and who's pregnant. Like, I mean, that I don't want to save that. For what?
Exactly.
You know, because that's not bringing me anything that is going to grow me and raise me up as an artist or as a human being. So let that go, and let's begin to create these new mediums and new movements for ourselves. And then our networks, and like you said, connect our networks and bring our networks together. So now we have a real movement, and it's not just another album mix CD called The Movement.
Absolutely. Now, Jasiri, I want you to weigh in on the breaking news of the moment, the Joe Budden, Raekwon.
Yes.
We'll call it tension.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this situation?
Well, I have a couple thoughts. One, you know, is that, you know, as black men, it's always this, you know, it seems like we always feel like we have to prove how hard and tough we are, you know, as black men, especially in hip-hop, you know. And, I mean, it's really, it's interesting because, you know, you look at, you know, pop music, for instance, and you could say, well, the highest selling pop music group is like the Jonas Brothers or even a group like the Black Eyed Peas who's pushing platinum. But it seems like for us, you know, in hip hop, we always feel the need to like, I'm masking, I'm tough, I'm strong. And it ends up oftentimes leading to violence. You know, we've lost artists, you know, in that madness. And I think secondly, it's interesting that we always seem to have beef with one another where, you know, you know, the man who's running Rock the Bells, you know, he don't look like us. You see what I'm saying? And it seems like, you know, for instance, like when Asher Roth, you know, put out the tweet about he was at Rutgers with Nappy Headed Hoes, you didn't see one hip-hop artist on the level of what's going on right now challenge him, diss him, say anything negative towards him. You really didn't even see anybody say anything to Don Imus. But yet it seems like if one of us say something to one of us, it's that same, you know, whether you would call it Slave Mind or Willie Lynch, we always have a lot of vitriol, anger, beef, want to fight one another. And yet here you all are on a tour that somebody else has put together, somebody else is getting you money. And you would think the conversation would be, how can we all as artists get together and create our own tour that we are in ownership of, and that we can all make money off of, but here we are fighting one another. I mean, it's really sad. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you said, you know, Joe Budden and Raekwon are not young. These aren't 17 and 18-year-olds. You know, these are intelligent, you know, adults. And to keep perpetuating this behavior, and then you would even maybe even use the word knowledge itself in the case of Raekwon.
Yeah.
Why are we doing these things? You're not running up on, you know, I forget the guy's name who runs Rock the Bell. You ain't running up on him with six guys, you know. So it's just, it's sad to me that, you know, in 2009 we still are dealing with that. And it, to me, it just highlights the fact that we need more Black Coffee channels. We need more conscious artists to come in. And also, too, more individuals like us to critically analyze these things when they come up. You know, and then just to not feed in them and say, you know, okay, now what are we going to wait for Joe Budden and Raekwon to fight? And then, you know, I heard Joe Budden say something like, well, if we don't fight, then there's going to be places in the United States that he can't go, as if you have that kind of power. And then I'm saying, well, if you have that kind of power in those places, do you have an economic plan for those places?
Ooh.
And do you have anything in place that can save the black youth in those places? If not, then just be quiet. You know, I'm starting to get mad. Let me calm down. I'm starting to get a little bit mad right now.
I'll come in and take over. Pass the baton to me.
Yeah. So I mean, that's my take on that, brother.
Well, here's the thing. Did you hear Raekwon's statement on MTV? We played it earlier.
Now,
didn't that sound so intelligent, so wise, so mature?
Yes, absolutely.
See, now here's the other thing. And again, I haven't spoken to Ray, and I always know there's something. There's an important kernel of truth that never comes out in these situations.
Very true. Very true.
Evidently, something happened, if what is being reported is true, to sway Raekwon away from the wisdom that he had already put out.
Right.
And this is another part of the problem in hip-hop, which is how we surround ourselves.
Yeah.
The people that we choose to keep around us that may or may not reflect that spirit. And I've been in that inner circle with them. And I do know, I mean, I know at one point, and I never talk about this, I guess you're making me feel very comfortable. At one point, I had to make arrangements for 30 people for about 2-3 months. Travel, money, because that's how large the entourage inner circle was with Wu-Tang.
Right.
So I know that there's pressures. You got to take care of people. You're trying to keep people out of trouble. That's why when Raekwon said people have caught cases over things like this,
right,
it showed me that he had reached a certain level. But you know what? This is the question that I have put before every single artist that I've met, and I've never found one that met the test. Do you want to be an artist more than you want to be a leader?
Right. Mm.
They say they want to be leaders, but I have to tell you, I've never met one yet that did not want to be a successful artist more. And
right.
Because of that, there's a backsliding that always occurs when you take a stand.
True, and because you know that in order to, and that's, you know, kind of, you know, and of course, when I did the song about Gina, you know, part of my inspiration was my brother NY Oil, who did a song called Y'all Should All Get Lynched. And when I was saying call Weezy, call Baby, call BG, call Juvenile, Manny Fresh, call Master P, I wasn't saying call them out. And, you know, I was saying let's call these brothers to the battlefield, because if Lil Wayne says, I'm going to Gina, you should come too, then now, you know, you might have 100,000 people instead of just 60,000. You know, if all those artists came together and said, we're supporting this issue, it might have been 1 million people in Gina. And but just like you said, if he does that now, it's going to be a backlash. You know, if he stands up in that manner, you know that if something is coming behind that. And oftentimes, just like you said, we kind of like the easier road rather than something that's harder and more difficult. And if I can just say one more thing on the issue.
Yes, sir.
Right after, you know, I did the Gina 6 song, you know, I was getting offers from different labels. And I happened to go to Atlanta. And here, you know, the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan speak to the artist at Justin's restaurant. This was right after T.I. got arrested at the BET Hip Hop Awards. And, you know, in this talk, he was really encouraging independence for artists. And it caused me to say, well, I know this, it's a more difficult role to put things out myself and to do things myself, but, you know, it'll be at the end a more gratifying role, and then I'll have ownership over my songs and the music that I make. And so hearing that, you know, I said, well, I'm not going to necessarily take the easy way. I'll take a harder way. And if it wasn't for me doing that, it wouldn't be a This Week with Jasiri X or all the certain things that have come after that.
Very well said. Well, brother, take us out of here like Jizzle, man.
Oh, well.
What should we be looking for in the future? What are some of the things you're working on, and any other final thoughts?
Definitely. Always go to realtalkexpress.com. That's the main place where I'm. In fact, I'm dropping a blog today about Pittsburgh, and have these recent events that have took place in Pittsburgh will lead to a police state. We'll check that out later on the day. Be on the lookout this fall for Autobiography of Jasiri X. Also, September 29th, I believe, is the date for the season premiere. This Week with Jasiri X Season 3, where we will be dealing with the G20 conference in Pittsburgh. So we will be on the ground dealing with the economic disparities and with that. And also, too, be on the lookout either this week or early next week, the video for X-Man. That'll be up as well. And I'm going to just keep grinding and, you know, and also I'm tuning in next week and now and forever, brother, you know.
I want to
just come on and just talk boxing, you know?
Hold on. Now you done messed up. We got to ask you, Kelly Pavlik, Paul the Punisher Williams, you know that I wear the white tee in honor of our leader, Paul.
Right.
But I think Pavlik's hands are too heavy for him to get away with that stuff with he got away with Margarito.
Well, I think it's going to be a really good fight. I think that if Paul can keep the pace, because Kelly Pavlik keeps the pace too, I think that, you know, the difficulty with Paul is his length, his pace. I think he can win, because I really haven't seen. It's not even with Margarito; he wasn't knocked out. And you know, Margarito probably had something in them gloves.
Yeah, yes, sir. You know it. Hold on. You know it. You know there was some padding taken out and some plaster of Paris put in.
Right. So if he can take that punch, I think that he'll be able to survive Pavlik, and I think that his level of work per round will be able to get him past it. But I think it's going to be a great fight, because Pavlik likes to work too.
Well, he
likes to throw a lot of punches too.
I think he'll dominate him for 10 rounds. I'll be praying in 11th and 12th.
Definitely.
The website one more time, brother, and the email, direct contact.
Okay. Real Talk Express. That's with an X. Real Talk Express.com. And then Jasiri X. That's JASIRIX at Gmail. GMAIL.com. Hit me up.
Siri, love you, brother.
Love you too, bro.
Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
standing shoulder to shoulder with you. Take care, all right?
You too, bro.
Peace. Jasiri X, y'all. Now, you know, leader, entrepreneur, activist, advocate, all-around good brother, sense of humor. Not trying to push book quotes down your throat. Jasiri X. Support him. Get to know him better. Follow his blog. To me, he is a representative of the paradigm shift that's on the way. Not really on the way. Underway, I should say. August 12, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. If you have any thoughts on Brother Jasiri's representation of his life, his thoughts, I thought he had some interesting comments to say about why conscious music is not more quote-unquote mainstream. Brought up a great point I had never thought of. His position, his passionate view on the problem between Raekwon and Joe Budden, his value for technology, his appreciation for the youth, his understanding for activism, his demonstrated commitment through the involvement with the Genius Six, but not that alone, maybe more importantly, his day-to-day engagement of the realities on the ground in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, one of the most gulliest cities and towns in this country. I mean, Pittsburgh, the kind of emails that we would get from people in Pittsburgh were some of the realest. And when you talk to somebody from Pittsburgh, there's no joke in their voice. Something serious has happened to that town, and our people go through a certain kind of hell. Be right back. Hour number four, How to Show in the Diaspora. Tiny and Toya, T.O. Show. You know I got to get to it. UFC. I'm going to revisit this situation with Keith Olbermann and O'Reilly. I don't think you heard enough of my thesis on that. And Iran's currency, among other topics. Stay tuned, all right?
I took your little plan and I turned it on itself. Look what I did to this city with a few drums of gas and a couple of bullets. Hmm? You know what I noticed? Nobody panics when things go according to plan. Even if the plan is horrifying. If tomorrow I tell the press that, like, a gangbanger will get shot, or a truckload of soldiers will be blowing up, nobody panics, because it's all part of the plan. But when I say that one little old mare will die, well, then everyone loses their minds. Introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order, and everything becomes chaos.
Super those that work horses are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work horses are the same that burn crosses.
Cedric Muhammad.
Some of those that work horses are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work forces draw the same that burn crosses. Killing in the name of. Killing in the name of. Now you do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya.
Cedric Muhammad.
Now you do what they told ya. 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 Now you do what they told ya.
We are tuning into the Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Now you do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya. Don't do that.
Ooh, August 12, 2009, Auburn Hills, right? Detroit, the Palace, whatever that was. Rage Against the Machine. If you've never seen them in concert, you missed out. Ooh. Killing in the Name of Live. Anyone been to a Rage concert and seen that? I had the privilege in 97. I saw them do that song about 20 times. Killing in the Name of Rage Against the Machine. Jasiri X again turned it out. Some of you all sending in comments. I'm going to talk this hour about Dambisa Moyo, my view of her, my desire to be her bodyguard, where I disagree with her book, where I think she's right on point. And I think what she points to as far as it relates to the crisis of the black intellectual, and as Jasiri X made clear, it may also be the crisis of the black artist, the crisis of the black professional. Now, this discussion about trichinosis, the trichina worm, pork tapeworms in your brain, it's captivated you. To give you the latest update, my dear brother Joseph from Brooklyn, highly intelligent, a learned human being, universal in outlook, a self-described, admitted, educated pork eater and atheist. He made a statement earlier that the dietary laws of all religions are not based in any relevant facts. I asked him, had he read How to Eat to Live, books 1 and 2, by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he responded. Let's see if I can get Joseph's response. He says, I heard you on that, brother. We can definitely build, because I invited Joseph. If he had not, we could have a great discussion about science, religion, theology, and dietary law. Joseph is up to the task, no surprise there. He had not heard of How to Eat to Live, books 1 and 2, but he is ready to get into it. Finalcall.com, any of my Final Call Nation of Islam family listening, give me the exact address in the store, the online store of the Final Call, where Joseph can purchase How to Eat to Live, book 1 and 2, so we can get it going. Thank you, Joseph. Now, Eleazar from Brooklyn, the Haitian, I want to say the Haitian Hebrew, that may be accurate. I'll let him determine that. He is named after the son of Aaron, Eleazar. If you have a Bible, the Torah, you know that that's a powerful name. Eleazar from Brooklyn has a response for Joseph in Brooklyn regarding the pig. Now, I'm going to read this. This will absolutely be included in post show notes tomorrow. Rest assured. Eleazar from Brooklyn says, peace, Cedric. This message is for the educated Joseph from Brooklyn. Since Joseph is an atheist, I will give him the medical and scientific reason for not eating pork, opposed to giving him my Sabbatarian view. Number one, pigs are gluttonous, never knowing when to stop eating. Their stomach acids become diluted because of the volume of food, allowing all kinds of vermin to pass through this protective barrier. Parasites, bacteria, viruses, and toxins can pass into the pig's flesh because of overeating. These toxins and infectious agents can be passed on to humans when they eat a pig's flesh. If a pig is exposed to a human's DNA virus and then a bird's virus, the pig mixes the two viruses, developing a new DNA virus that is often extremely lethal for humans. These viruses have already caused worldwide epidemics and destruction. Oh, that was number two. Number three, many researchers reported that 50 diseases were found in pigs, and many of these were passed on to humans by eating the pig's flesh. Four, lastly, pork should remind you of slavery, brother. Pork is considered as a black poison and is the probable cause of our common sicknesses and degenerative diseases. So, Joseph, you may be committing slow suicide when you eat that bacon, ham, sausage, or pork chops. Peace and love, Eleazar. No, he didn't say peace and love. That was me. Joseph, if you care to respond, if you have time, I'm here. Eleazar from Brooklyn gave his four-point program, his four-point platform against the pig. There you have it. Now, let me revisit, before I talk about Dambisa Moyo, the queen, before I talk about the queen, let me revisit the Fox MSNBC beef, something I want to get to. As I said last week, I've coined the phrase, do not think left, right, center, think 5'10", 85%er. If anyone's feeling that phrase, let me know. Do not think left, right, center, think 5'10", 85%er. The left-right bamboozle, it's a bamboozlement, it's a charade. Program called Reliable Sources added some more details and an opinion that I think is worthwhile. This is what Howie Kurtz, CNN Reliable Sources on the CNN, on the MSNBC Fox Beef.
The seemingly endless feud between Keith Olbermann and Bill O'Reilly has been fascinating in a car wreck kind of way, and sometimes downright nasty. The New York Times tried to declare the hostilities over earlier this week. That turned out to be a tad premature. I reported last year that the top executives at both corporations tried to get their talk show host to cool it. After all, Olbermann was attacking O'Reilly on MSNBC almost every night, while O'Reilly was on Fox slamming Jeff Immelt, the top honcho at NBC's corporate parent, General Electric.
Bill O'Reilly, today's worst person in the world.
Jeffrey Immelt is a despicable human being.
But the effort by Fox's Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes, NBC's Jeff Zucker, and Jeff Immelt fell short. The verbal combat continued. Last weekend, the New York Times said a ceasefire had been reached. But Olbermann was quoted as saying that he wasn't part of any deal. He had announced weeks earlier that he was ending his mockery of O'Reilly because of the seriousness of the Fox host attacks on George Tiller, the abortion doctor who was later murdered. Fox's Roger Ailes and GE's Jeff Immelt did privately hammer out an agreement of sorts last spring, but it wasn't for a ceasefire, just an understanding that O'Reilly and Olbermann would stick to the issues and tone down the personal invective. But when the Times quoted a GE spokesman as praising the agreement, Olbermann felt he had to demonstrate that he hadn't been muzzled by the corporate bosses. 48 hours later, he did just that, bestowing his Worst Person in the World awards, starting with the Times.
The bronze to Brian Stelter of the New York Times. Front problem, Mr. Stelter asked me at least twice last week if there was such a deal, and I told him on and off the record there was not.
Next, the liberal firebrand went after Fox.
Tonight's runner-up, Bill the Clown, but our winner, Rupert Murdoch. How would you like to be Roger Ailes right now, or Bill O'Reilly, or anybody else who thinks they decide what goes on, even for a minute on Fox News Channel?
O'Reilly responded 2 days later, aided by a legitimate news story that GE had just paid $50 million to settle federal allegations that it cooked the books to mislead investors.
GE defrauds the public, has to pay $50 million in fines, but could conceivably use taxpayer loan money to do it. Amazing. Situation directly touches the president because NBC News, owned by GE, has been perhaps Barack Obama's biggest supporter in the media. And Jeff Immelt was rewarded for that when President Obama appointed him to his economic advisory board.
Here we go again. Now, there's nothing wrong with network commentators taking each other on over issues and their own rhetoric, but the extraordinarily personal nature of this Olbermann-O'Reilly slugfest is making both sides look bad, as their bosses know all too well. Still to come, the curtain comes...
Okay, that's how we curse reliable sources, CNN. Just want to give you another angle on that. Now look, I'm not going to back off what I'm saying. There are people above what you believe to be the highest level of engagement, which is political power. President, Congress, Supreme Court, Federal Reserve Chairman. No, I'm sorry. There are people telling them what to do or influencing them indirectly to get them to do what they want. I've talked about the 10% before. I gave you an individual to look into, Avril Harriman, as an example of a person who was probably on the third tier. The people that you see are four tiers down, four or five years down. If you look at the Bush family and what I call the 10% pyramid, I would say that the Bush family is in between the third and the fourth tier. I believe that the father, George Bush, has George Herbert Walker Bush has very, very, very high level knowledge of state secrets, cover up, things that are above top secret that presidents don't know. George Bush knew before he was president. I believe that. I believe someone like President Clinton is like on the fifth or fourth tier trying to work his way up. He's used as a vehicle or a vessel, a point man. But his aspirations for more power cause him to work as hard as he does to try to work his way up the power ladder of the 10%. That's my opinion.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Like a parking lot. Hip-hop addict to me, it's like sparking rock. I can't wait for a cut like sitting in the barbershop.